You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst of friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on another Prospect Minute, the final Prospect Minute, is our lead prospect analyst, Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
We've done it, man. We've climbed the mountain.
We made it. Oh, thank God.
We are here. A lot of talent. The Dodger system is a tough one to evaluate, though, because all the talent's primarily in the lower levels. So it'll be a lot of quick hitters toward the end of the podcast. So if you hear your favorite name, I might give you a line or two, but that's probably it. But there's a lot of talent at the top that we like, so might as well dig right in, huh?
All right. Go ahead and just jump right in, then.
First guy we're going to start with is, everyone calls him Walker Buehler. I call him Strikeouter Buehler. You like that? That's pretty good.
I actually like that.
That was pretty good, right? Tommy John surgery, out of the bat, a Vanderbilt arm. Came up in the bullpen down the stretch this last season in preparation for a role. Didn't really take to the role very well. He got a little bit roughed up in the bullpen. Couldn't spot the fastball. But he does throw the fastball to all four planes of the strike zone. It can touch 99, has some sink, mid-80s curveball that he just uses as a hammer. There's not a lot of guys with more upside than Buehler. I think he legit has ace upside. And he's knocking on the door of being big league ready. I don't think he gets significant time in the big league rotation this year. He'll get some, but it's not worth going out and spending a top 15 round pick or anything in a redraft this year, because I don't think he's going to run into that kind of playing time. Because you got to remember, guys like Julio Urias will be coming back and stuff. But you're looking at a guy who, if he throws, 200 innings eventually in a season, you're looking at a guy who could strike out 225, 230 hitters. It's kind of that kind of talent. Put away curveball is nasty. Gets a lot of weak contact. Gets some ground balls. He could play up in the bullpen right now, I think. With more seasoning, I think he'd be ready to go be a backhand guy. But I'm really big on Walker Buehler.
I'm really impressed by him, too. I got to see him pitch live.
You saw him live. I remember you saw the video.
I was sitting about 10 rows behind home plate at AT&T Park when the Dodgers came into town late in the season, and he came in for a relief appearance. And, man, he has got real top-of-the-rotation kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you're not selling him short. I mean, that's huge. And, I mean, he's a little bit on the smaller side, which is a little bit of a knock against him if you care about that sort of thing. I don't. I think 6'2", 175 is almost ideal for a starting pitching prospect because he's got room to add to the frame, and he still might grow. He's young enough where it wouldn't be the weirdest thing. But you got to like double-plus curveball. Got a cutter-slider hybrid, good breaking ball. You couldn't really spot it in the major league cup of coffee, but, I mean, I trust it a little bit this year. I do think he's going to run into inning limit this year. So that's something to monitor. Probably, this past season, he's still not that far removed from Tommy John. And in 2016, he threw 5 innings. So 2017, he came back and looks like he threw roughly 80 to 90 innings. He's probably going to be cut off about 130 or so for this year, which is good, but that'll probably eliminate him from meaningful postseason innings for your fantasy team or anything like that when you're in the playoff stretch. So that's going to be unfortunate, and but plan around that, and you can get a good 20, 30, 40 innings at the major league level from Buehler for you. So Alex Verdugo, I know you like him a lot too. He's a tough guy to evaluate from a fantasy standpoint because, I don't think he's got – I know he doesn't have the game-changing power. He doesn't have game-changing speed either. He hits the ball on the ground a ton. And that's obviously going to hinder the game. But he's really contact heavy, so that'll kind of raise the floor a little bit. Can play all three outfield spots. Kind of your ideal fourth outfielder right now. But then again, you run the risk of calling him up and letting him sit on your bench in the fourth outfielder role and not fully developing into the starter you think he could be. So it's a weird dynamic. I think because of the batted ball profile, it's kind of similar to what Avisail Garcia did this year. Ultimately, I think a good comp for Verdugo's long-term is Melky Cabrera, which might be underwhelming, but you look at Cabrera, he's had some pretty nice seasons.
Yeah, I think that's actually a perfect comp.
Because I think he's going to flirt with like 300 batting average. Mm-hmm. He's going to, you know, probably hit 15 or so home runs and steal 8 to 10 bases. While that doesn't sound the sexiest profile, a guy like that can be really valuable in 20-team leagues. So,
well, and I think with the added kind of power boom of the of what we've seen so far with the baseballs, I think you could see him be more of a 20, you know, plus, you know, or, you know, low 20s home run hitter.
Right, with the right, because it's hard to project. You're right, because you have to adjust that at the major league level. Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, I mean, a guy like him, you know, while he's definitely not speedy in, you know, the traditional sense of the word, he's also a pretty good base dealer. Like, he,
yes,
you know, so I think he could chip. I think he'd go like 28, you know, 20 home runs, 8 stolen bases with, you know, a 290-300 average, you know.
Right, and one thing too, the play skills can't get undersold. He walked more than he struck out in AAA this year, So that's always a sexy thing. I think he's worth a draft pick in NL only leagues this year. So I think I know the Dodgers have a lot of depth. They always do. They got Andrew Tolles coming back this year too.
Who I love. So that's gonna,
what?
Who
oh
I
yeah,
love, yeah, I yeah. love Andrew Tolles.
And Tolles is a nice player, and Verdugo's not that far different really from Tolles in the sense of what he can possibly do.
But I think it also says a lot about what the Dodgers organization thinks of him, that while they were going for a championship, they didn't move him.
Right, and he was a guy they were getting a lot of bites on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him and Buehler, they held on to both of them, and you can see why. So he'll definitely start the year in AAA. I don't think there's a debate about that. And he might spend most of the year in AAA, to be honest. Mm-hmm. He's got 495 plate appearances at in the AAA level, but he's super young. He's only 21. He'll be 22 for most of the season next year. But again, man, being the youngest player in the Pacific Coast League and to walk more than you strike out, okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the stuff that translates. It doesn't jump off on the stat sheet, but stuff like that translates to the next level fairly well. So next guy I want to touch on is the guy that I own in RDI. And not going to lie, I actually picked him on accident because I meant to put him in my queue and I drafted him. but that's fine. That means because I was interested in him because I was going to put him in my queue. So, but
you're a pro,
Edwin
Rios.
He's a first base prospect, which, okay, you know, everyone has concerns about that. But he split the season between AA and AAA. He's an aggressive hitter, but he saw a 9.5% walk rate in AAA after hovering around 5 for his AA career. Strikeouts are around 20%. Good contact for a guy with this much pop, 77%. But I really like Edwin Rios. I'm trying to pull up the stat page, and I lost the sheet. But he profiles as a first baseman. You might see him listed as a third baseman somewhere. He's not going to play third. He doesn't have the foot speed for it. But what he did this year, again, it's not combined. Hold on, let me find the combined stat list. But I really like the hit tool. I like the power. And he's got a combination of that without striking out very much. And that's a hard thing to find in today's game because, you know, everyone's got the strikeout issues. And, yes, it's the Dodgers, and they have Bellinger at first base. We're probably going to be there for a while, but Rios is the type of guy where I would not be surprised if Bellinger moved to the outfield for, because Rios can hit, and I don't want to undersell that. 309, 362, 533 line, 34 doubles and 24 homers. between AA and AAA. His career line is a 302, 350, 542. So he's consistent as hell in the minor leagues, and he just does what he's a left-handed hitter, just puts up numbers. Sixth-round pick, got him out of FIU from Puerto Rico. I'm a fan. I just think a lot of people give him that quad A label coming into the season, but I think he's better than that, man. The 237 ISO, he uses all fields. I'm a fan, but the numbers are, while they're great, they don't stand out compared to other first base prospects. But just watching him hit, I'm sold on it, and I think it translates to the next level. So I'm probably the high guy on Rios, but Keibert Ruiz is another prospect we're going to get into. If you like Francisco Mejia, Keibert Ruiz is billed as the next version of him, which, yay, I guess. He's a catching prospect, so I'm muted on him anyways. He's 19 years old. He's going to turn 20 in July. Switch hitter, like Mejia, 316, 361, 452 line, 23 doubles, 2 homers, 23 doubles, 2 triples, 8 home runs. So he's going into the power, potentially could maybe even be a 20-homer bat with enough time, but as a catcher, it's going to be hard to project someone to get, you know, all the plate appearances needed for that. But, you know, I think he's a really good plus-hit tool guy, which is hard to find at any position, you know, with the power outputs we've seen. You got $140,000 out of Venezuela, so it's a really good development story for the Dodgers. But, again, he's not a catcher, so I'm not all interested. I mean, he could be the next Francisco Mejia, or he could be the next Chance Cisco, and I'll let somebody else take that shot. I'll let somebody else waste that roster spot. Well, I shouldn't say waste. Waste is too critical, but I'll let someone else find that out. I'll pick up the catcher on waivers that's comparable that I have no long-term investment in. Kind of like what we've been preaching out here. DJ Peters. 276, 372, 514, 29 doubles, 5 triples, and 27 home runs in the Cal League. Before you get all old Cal League on you, Cal League was kind of a pitcher's league this year because they lost the two of the biggest offensive yards. So, yeah, that's a hell of a number. But here's the wart, 32% strikeout rate, but he did walk 10% of the time. I think a lot of the walks were to do with him, pitchers just being flat out scared of him because he was just crushing the league. I don't really think it's him being very selective. 63% contact rate, obviously, with the strikeouts. Yeah. He's a great athlete. I think most famously, he took Madison Bumgarner deep twice when Bumgarner was down in the Cal League rehabbing. Mm-hmm. And so that's a pretty good notch in your belt for a minor leaguer. Take Bumgarner deep twice. So I do think he's kind of... He's very similar to Bobby Bradley for me because he obviously got the strikeout concerns. He's a three true outcome guy like Bradley. Yes, he plays the outfield corner and he's more athletic, but I think the offensive numbers are going to be pretty damn comparable. So I think he's a 240, 250 hitter with good OBPs. But I just don't know if the strikeout rate is going to allow him to, you know, reach the full potential, especially with the Dodgers because they always have crowded outfields. So that's going against them. Pitching side a little bit. Mitchell White spent some time in AA this year. 38 innings in High A. He has really good strikeout stuff. He's got 3+ pitches potentially. They're not there yet. Can touch 97, but the velocity fluctuates. It sits 92, 95. There's some days he was only topping out about 92. So he needs to work on sustaining that velocity. A nice plus pitch in the slutter. Slutter, I say, because it's a slider cutter hybrid kind of pitch. Has an average curve with it. I think the curve flashes plus for me. I've seen it in action, and I like it a lot. He spent some time on the DL. He had Tommy John surgery in college, but he missed about a month this year with a toe injury. 6'4", 200 pounds, so I love the frame. Needs more innings, though. That's the thing for Mitchell White, but he can be a mid-rotation guy with a high strikeout ceiling. Jaron Kendall, back to the offensive game, kid from Vanderbilt. complete package of skills, just the hit tool lags behind. So that needs to improve. I think he's a major leaguer in the sense that his defensive stuff, defensive chops are really nice. Really good raw power, but just the hit tool needs to allow him to tap into it. So I think Jaron Kendall was a guy that you invested in a lot coming out of the draft because you liked the name. But the hit tool hasn't translated, and it was questionable at the time. So Yadier Alvarez has slipped down draft boards as well. The stuff backed up a little bit. He walks too many guys. Throws gas. The Cuban kid, if you're not familiar with the story. The walks, though, like I said, man, you can't get past the walks. Slider and changeup are inconsistent pitches. They both flash at times. 6'3", so he's got some projection in the frame. Can hit 98 miles an hour. And I think you got to keep him as a starter for a little bit longer. Let him fail a little bit more before you make the switch. But as soon as you move into the bullpen, he should move real fast. Use Neil Diaz. 6'1", 195. Kind of similar to Verdugo in the sense that no real plus. Well, Verdugo has a plus hit tool. Diaz doesn't have that, but he has no plus power and no plus speed. It's kind of just average. So that hurts him a little bit with the profile. It's a line drive, kind of a lot of. He'll be a good points league guy. Doesn't strike out right around 20%. So that's something to watch when he gets older. When he gets older and climbs up the levels. Good enough walk rates, nice contact rates. So I think, you know, he doesn't have a standout tool, like I said, but the plate skills are nice with the walk rate, makes a lot of contact. So I think he's got a higher enough floor. He's not flashy. So that's why he reminds me of Verdugo a little bit. Starling Heredia has kind of always been paired with Diaz. He was set at three different levels in 2017. Fared well, but he's only 18. 400 OBP at each level. Except for his 26-game stint in low A. But the two rookie ball levels, he tore him up. So he's advanced a little bit. I want to see him against more advanced competition, obviously, because he proved he was too advanced for, you know, the rookie ball. And he went up to the Midwest League and kind of fell a little bit on his face a little bit. But he should bounce back, 6'2", 200 pounds. Don't look for speed. Look for average power and an average hit tool for Heredia. Interesting player, but not as interesting as when he was signed. Dustin May, I like him a lot from an arm standpoint. Threw 134 innings this year, had 128 strikeouts, but you know only 27 walks, so he should be an asset in that. But he dealt with some injury lists. Tall, lanky, righty, needs to grow into the frame. I expect him to get sent to low A or to high A to start the season. Might end the season in AAA for Dustin May if everything goes well. He's 21, going to be 22. So he's a nice arm to watch, throws hard. Christian Santana is a third baseman. Had a nice breakout season, kind of arrived on the scene. And he's getting some buzz a little bit. People thought he's a product of the leagues he was playing in. But I'm a little bit more aggressive on Santana than that. Trying to pull up the stat line really quickly because he was split between two different levels. I want to get the whole thing, but he's in low A and high A. Like I said, third baseman, 6'2", 175, 363, 390, 563 line, 11 doubles, a triple, and 10 homers in 54 games. Only 48 strikeouts, which is very nice, but only 11 walks. So that's also, you know, an issue. He's very aggressive, a really good hitter. But I think he got a lot of batted ball luck this year for him. That worked out favorable. So I think he's going to fall back a little bit. 76% contact rate, 398 BABIP, 548 BABIP in 48 plate appearances in rookie ball, 398 in the Midwest League. Strikeout rate was manageable. Doesn't walk, like I said. So I'm a fan of Santana. Gavin Lux is a stolen base asset at shortstop with a good walk rate, good contact rate, doesn't strike out. I'd question the power output, 14 doubles, 8 triples, 7 homers, 27 stolen bases. The hit tool is not quite where it needs to be, 244, 331, 362. Good glove at shortstop, might move a little bit back and forth between second base. The range is questionable for short. So that's the thing. Will Smith, catching prospect. I like him a lot, too. He's a little more athletic than most catchers. He had 6 stolen bases in high A, and after his promotion to double A, he even added another one. But really good OBP skills, hit tools, lags behind, good power projection. I think he can hit 15 home runs as a catcher, and I think he can hit 280. So that's potential really good value play because he's not getting a lot of pub because, you know, he's a little bit under the radar guy. Jordan Sheffield, Justice's brother, good four-pitch mix, back-end rotation guy. Caleb Ferguson, just kind of the back-end guy with a little bit higher strikeout upside than most guys in his situation, I should say, in his, you know, most guys around him in his level. I think he's got a little more strikeout upside, but the upside of the whole package isn't really that high. So I'm kind of off of him. I'm trying to figure out who I want to go to next. Imani Abdullah only had 12 innings pitched. Had an undisclosed injury that don't know why. He didn't throw that many pitches, but he's got good feel for two off-speed pitches. Throws in the mid-90s. He's only 20 years old, so he should go back to low A. Matt Beaty is a catcher. He's a corner infielder. First and third base, I'm sorry. Good, probably StatCast kind of guy. He hits the ball hard. He used to be a catcher. Average hit and power tools, so that's good enough. That's all you really need to know there, because those should translate with the plate skills. Morgan Cooper, second round pick in the 2017 draft. Big frame plus fastball fits the Texas amateur profile to a T. Did have Tommy John, so that's something to watch. Omar Estevez is a high dollar Cuban infielder. Hit tool over power at second base. Not a lot of speed. Trevor Oakes was a good piece. They traded to Kansas City. I covered him in that system. Good ground ball type guy. Dennis Santana can touch 97 of them. Probably a reliever because he has trouble maintaining his velocity. Doesn't repeat his delivery enough and has iffy command. Probably a reliever, so you know that's something to follow there. A lot of depth in this system. I could go on for a little bit longer. Connor Wong, Ryland Bannon, James Marinian, Romar Cuadrado. There's a lot of depth here, but it lacks the top-end talent that it traditionally has had. But that kind of stuff happens when you graduate Bellinger and Urias the last couple seasons, so I don't really feel bad for them. They got Jake Peter, too, from the White Sox. I forgot, I should mention him. Probably a utility option as soon as this season. Kind of probably their replacement for Charlie Culberson. A guy that can play shortstop, outfield, second base, good bat-to-ball skills, decent speed, decent pop for his size. So 13 homers and 11 stolen bases in Double-A and Triple-A this past season with the White Sox. So he's a little bit of an exciting player to watch. Errol Robinson, Luke Rayleigh, you can add to the pile. Carlos Rincon, Ronnie Brito, Drew Jackson. A lot of talent. But again, like I said, lacking the traditional high-end guys. And with that, Justin, we made it, man.
We did it, buddy. I'm so proud of you.
Proud of you, too. Now, we're going to give Ben an assignment. Hopefully he's listening. Ben needs to go back and listen to all the prospect minutes and write down every word I said, and I want a word count by the end.
Transcribe it all.
Yep. I want a word count by the end of the week.
All right, Ben, if you do that, we will sell you 5% of the company.
Of Mike's share. We'll give you 5% of Mike's share.
We'll give you 5% of Eli's old shares.
There you go.
You cannot reach
Eli.
Pour one out for our good friend Eli, who's doing really well. Talked to him the other day. So
congratulations on the girlfriend.
Yeah. And a promotion at work. So
there you go.
You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Eli on Twitter at EliFWFB. I think he's probably changed it, but just search for it. You'll find him. And that's going to do it for us and all the prospect minutes. So hopefully you stick around for more goodness. Matt and Mike will be doing prospect podcasts throughout the preseason and season. And starting tomorrow, we break into our normal teams. So look out for an episode with me, Matt, Mike, and James Anderson of RotoWire. He's their lead prospect guy over there. We just recorded that earlier tonight. And so It was a really good episode. Talked about RDI, the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational, and then about the Brewers move. So definitely check that out tomorrow. And that is going to do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.